الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين، لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك نبينا آله وسلم. الحمد لله الحمد لله، Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us and gathered us again for another Shalat of Jummah. For this is indeed a blessed day in the life of the believers. Because this is that special day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has singled out and ordered the believers to leave aside all of their worldly pursuits and come together in a Jummah, in a group setting, so that we may encourage one another to do what is right and discourage one another from doing what is wrong, and that we may be of help and assistance to one another as a help. This afternoon I'd like to share with you my version of an interesting contemporary topic that most of you might have heard of, called Reviving the Spirit of Islam. We had a convention last weekend, the weekend before last, at the Long Beach Convention Center, and it was entitled Reviving the Spirit of Islam. Anybody attend that? Anybody? So, hopefully you enjoy it. It was a convention with an interesting, powerful theme, Reviving the Spirit of Islam. It had eminent scholars from all over the country, even internationally, to talk about reviving the spirit of Islam. Think about that theme. You have to give it some thought. If all of them agreed that we need to revive the spirit of Islam, then that means the spirit of Islam either is dead or needs to be resuscitated. You need to revive it. It means something, reviving something. Dead. So if we accept that as a legitimate premise, that we need to revive the spirit of Islam, it bears some pondering. Individually and collectively, in our own selves, to ask ourselves, well, has the spirit of Islam died in me? Is it comatose? Needs resuscitation? Okay, I won't disagree with that. Okay, but what does that mean to revive the spirit of Islam? I thought about it. And by the way, I wasn't invited. I wasn't one of the eminent scholars, so I wasn't on the list. So now I have my opportunity to give you my version of it, because I wasn't there. So I don't know what they said or didn't say. I wasn't able to attend. But in any event, I'm going to give you my version. I thought about it and pondered it. What do I think is the cause of the spirit of Islam dying inside of us and becoming comatose? What I think is an interesting subject on the show. I think that throughout these last several hundred years that we have been robbed as a ummah of some essential components of Islam. So much so that as it was taught to us, and because of the way it was taught to us, we never got the spirit of Islam. One thing to lose it, but it's another thing not to even have it. Just threw something pretty heavy out there at you, didn't I? We I'm saying, I don't think we are there.
What am I talking about?
Consider, if we have a billion Muslims, within this billion Muslims that we call a Ummah, countless of them kill each other. Countless of them fight each other. On a local and regional level, Muslims within even a certain country don't intermarry with each other because of regional differences. Are you Sindhi? Are you Hindu? Or Sindhi? Are you Muhajir? Are you Iraqi? Or are you Egyptian? Or are you Palestinian? Are you Shiite? Are you Sunni? There's a Muslim magazine that comes out on a regular basis. I forgot the name of it. But it has a marriage section in it. That marriage section will tell you a lot about us. Anybody ever read it? Any Muslim magazine got marriage section. That'll tell us a lot about ourselves. Parents looking for Indian, Sunni, light skin, husband or daughter, or whatever. That's a whole bunch of detail that has nothing to do with this one. Nothing. That's just what it is. But here's one that I really want to key on. Talking about this. Well, my theme is this. Concept versus process. There are concepts in the Quran. The Quran is a book full of concepts, but short on detail. Detail is the process, as an example. Quran talks about establishing regular prayer, establishing regular charity, those things, establishing it. But it doesn't tell us how to pray. That's a process that we learn. And if you grew up with Shiites, you learn how to pray a certain way. You grew up with Sunnis, you learn how to pray a certain way. Can't argue with that. That's process. And because we learn process so much, we have gotten locked in to the process without knowing and understanding and fully comprehending the concept. So we finally sin process to the bitter end. As an example, in Masjid said, people say, I wouldn't pray behind a Shiite. Why not? They pray like this, and they put a little stone in there. Why? Pray to a while. Why do you have a problem with that? Because your mind says process. That's not the process that I was taught. Like this, and that's not the process. Not going to do that. You find people, they talk about praying. Do this. You do this. Don't do this. Do this. Everywhere you look in the religion of Islam, it's process, not concept. And here's what I want to key on. We had a masjid making prayer in the middle of the day, and they had children's classroom inside the masjid. So I was praying. I listened to the lessons that I listened to. Interesting. One that everybody was related to. Here's the question. Children in the class, they said, what was the name of the people in Medina who received the people in Mecca when they fled Mecca and migrated to Mecca? What? Ansar! Yeah, Ansar! But here's the crux of my whole, the point of my whole thesis here, is right here. That's process. They didn't mention the concept. How many of you can recall, as I'm talking about this situation, the process of the hijra from Mecca to Medina? And there's two kinds of people. There's the Muhajir, the people that actually migrated, and the people that were in Medina, called Ansar, the help. Powerful concept in this. Who were the Ansar? What was the Ansar? What was their purpose and the concept here that they didn't mention? Only talked about concepts. Concept is so far-reaching that if you truly understood it, it would change Muslims as we know them today. It won't change Islam because the concept of it is there. Just don't think about it. Just think about the process. Here it is. The concept of Ansar was as follows. Here's some people migrating 250 miles. They got nothing. Only what they carry. Some water, a few days, so they can make it. Not like they even got a big backpack. And they're walking. They arrive in Medina. Already in Medina, there's a group of people who've accepted Islam. And the Prophet, upon the arrival of the people from Mecca, instituted a concept of Ansar by which these homeless, indigent, broke people with no money will never remain that way. Each person who's an Ansar will adopt a muhajir and hook him up. That's black vernacular. Hook him up. Meaning that you'll take that person, whatever business or trade he's in, he'll teach it to him, take him to the market and hook him up. He will not remain homeless. He will not remain poor. Whatever his situation is that was bad, it's going to be improved. Why? Because the concept of Ansar is there's nobody going to be left behind unless you just want to be. Unless you're just too lazy to get up and do something. But that core group in Medina was committed to the concept of Ansar. Nobody's going to be ignorant without education. If I know how to read, I'm going to teach you how to read. If I have a business, I'm going to teach you the ropes. If I have some money and you have an idea, whatever your situation is, we're going to partner up and I'm going to hook you up and you're going to be successful. Think about that. That's the concept of Ansar. Forget about that useless process. What was the name of these people or those people? That's not it. It's the concept of everything has a concept and everything has a process. If you are an engineer and you learn math in Pakistan and I learned math here in America, the process by which they taught you might be different. Concept of math is the same and powerful. I don't care whether you're in Egypt, India, Pakistan, Palestine, or in Israel. The concept of it is far-reaching, goes beyond the process of learning. And that's where we've got stuck. Us Muslims, we're stuck on the process, and that's what killed the spirit of Islam. We fight and defend the process. Oh, he just walked into the masjid with his left foot instead of his right. Go stop him right there. Get him, grab him, drag him over here. And let's beat him because he didn't follow the right process. Oh, look at that lady. There's a little hair showing on her. Let's grab her, let's verbally abuse her and put her out. Because she has a hair show. Or she may not have hijab at all. But wait a minute. What's the concept of hijab? Maybe she never learned it because no one ever taught it to her. Or when they did teach it to her, they didn't teach her the concept, only the process. And think about the results of the process. Let's take this hot button of jab. Starting with the parents. You harangue and beaten into your daughter's mind, hijab, this scar. And she never understood the concept of hijab. She's going to resist it. She's going to rebel against it. And any of you have ever been in any society longer, particularly this one, you'll see an interesting phenomenon. I used to go to Catholic school, so I know it well. Catholic school, when I was growing up, had a dress code. The girls had skirts that came all the way past their knees. They had this blouse, and everything was covered up, and this little beanie hat. And I used to see the girls going to school like that. They take that dress and roll it up so that it's nice and short. Open up the mouth. And I had a Catholic school girl. All of them were like, interesting. Because no one ever taught them the concept. I'm turning off your phone here. Where's your mom? The concept here. No one ever taught them the concept of hayat and death. Among Muslims too, who's taught their daughter and son the concept of hayat, the concept of being modest, the concept of being shy, and all of the intricate ramifications of that? Once a person knows that, they may not implement it immediately, but that concept is so powerful, once you know and understand the concept, it will take over, invade your brain like a virus, and you will have to submit to it. Because concepts are so powerful in the brain that you can't overcome them. The concepts are so powerful. Think about any concept that you know and you comprehend. You can't get it out of your brain. Because once you learn something, you cannot unlearn it. It's there forever. That's to get amnesia or something. A concept. That's why when you study Quran, you see concepts. You can't get them out of your mind. Prophet comes and goes. You can change and tweak a prophet, but you still got the concept. Think about whatever. I can talk about the whole spectrum of everything that we think we know related to our religion, and I can still break it down. Concept, process. Concept, process. But in our, the way we understand it, process prevails. I have no idea of the concept, but I got a lot of the process. And that's where we fight them. That's how we put each other down. That's how we marginalize each other's Islam. Because we don't have the same process. And most human beings is not even able to do the process exactly. It's impossible to do the process exactly the same. If you take every Muslim in this room and you take 100 items that we're supposed to do, fasting, charity, hajj, all of that stuff, line them up horizontally across a measure. And then we go vertically from 0 to 10. And let's say 10 is the optimum. None of us in this room are hitting the 10 all across the spectrum. Nobody. Why? Because it's impossible for every human being in the process of carrying out anything to hit 10 all the way across at everything. Not possible. Impossible. But what we do is we look at each other based upon the process of how we're implementing whatever, and we marginalize each other. So we fight, we kill each other. Because we never emphasize from the very beginning, the importance of concept. In conclusion, what I present now to all of you and myself first, re-examine the way we learn Islam. Somebody taught it to you. Call it epistemology. Somebody taught it to you. Re-examine it. Look at the flaw. Just consider what I'm putting forth. Consider. Concept versus process. Go back and re-study the concept of everything that you know one by one. And look at it in the context of the process. Oh, how important is this process that I'm doing? As opposed to truly saturating yourself with the concept of whatever it is, whether it's Tawheed, whether it's the concept of our Ghaib, the concept of Hajj. Think about it. How many people have heard the stories of people going to Hajj in a fight at Mina? Somebody had a fight on Hajj. They certainly didn't grasp the concept of Hajj, did they? They didn't. across the spectrum. You care too. I'm not unique. I just thought about it and shared it with you. Go back. Look at everything. And analyze that. The concept of how well have I studied and comprehended the concept of these elements of Islam. Then once you do that, everybody please move up and get some more room for that. Then once you do that, you'll see process example of prayers. There's certain pillars of prayers, but you will lose that pettiness, that big magnifying glass. If you walk in and you saw somebody praying like this or somebody praying like that, it would be irrelevant. It would be a non-issue. You truly understood the concept of whatever the matter is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on all of us. And God has all of his questions. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك نبيه وعلى آله وسلم. My beloved brothers and sisters, in Islam, in conclusion, I think that the study of concept and process, particularly practice, juxtaposing with one another, going back, studying our religion from a different perspective, will make all the difference in the world. Because remember, an ummah can be made up of individuals. Every change starts within yourself. No person can change anyone else. In fact, if you analyze yourself, you'll find that sometimes you can't even change yourself. You struggle with being in your own self that you know you need to change, but it's difficult. So if we abandon the process of trying to change someone else and enroll ourselves in the business of changing and working on ourselves, we will discover that everything around us will change. We'll see things differently. We'll perceive things differently. Because everything that you perceive is based on your own existing thought pattern and how you perceive, how you conceive things, and what you know and what you don't know. So there is no changing the ummah. It's only changing ourselves with a sincere desire to work on ourselves individually so that we can be the best that we can be, shining light, full of nur, beacon, an instrument of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every place and in everything that we do, that we, an individual person, myself, I want to be that. That all of us dedicate ourselves to that individual, we'll see a change in our lifetime and for sure in the next generation. Because remember this, you cannot teach any person something that you don't know. It's impossible. You don't know it, so how can you teach it? So you can't teach your children anything that you don't know. You have to know it in order to teach them. And you will teach them that which you know. And that is why, for 700 years, we've been producing generation after generation that progressively gets worse. So we see what we are today. We just have more killing power. We can kill more people simultaneously. We can attack and ruin the reputation of more people just with a click of a button. Bam, it's out there. A million people believe that this person is bad or did this or that. Press of a button. So when we understand those concepts of no bad lighting, do not repeat anything unless you verify the source principles, it's still a concept. If you understand it, things change. You change. It's called a paradigm shift. Paradigm shift. If you don't believe you need a paradigm shift, then you'll continuously do the same thing that you've been doing in the same way. So if you meet a person with a bad attitude, bad attitude, I don't want to be with them. But if you try to tell them they have a bad attitude, no, that attitude is really good. You're the one with a bad attitude. You can't help it. I can do it walk with them. So individually, you have to recognize them in the mirror and say, you know what? I have a bad attitude today. I analyze my interactions I just had with that person in the grocery store and whatever. Analyze that. Was I the best that I could be? Was I that shining light of Islam that Allah was pleased with me when I had that interaction? That's what we're talking about religion. That's a concept that we love. People make rock odds. Pray all day, fast, go to Hajj, wherever you go, this is where you will be. And you take the passage of who you are, every place you go. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy. Anything that I've shared with you this afternoon from the Rock of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any mistakes or omissions that I've made come from myself, my lack of knowledge, and the shaitan. So may Allah have mercy. Oh Allah, have mercy on us. Forgive us our sins and evil deeds. Admit us, O Lord, into your mercy and your forgiveness on our dying day and the day of judgment. Save us all, Allah, from the fire of hell and the agony of the grave, and from vanity, arrogance, enviousness, jealousy, and selfishness among ourselves. Oh Allah, so order us that we may be grateful for the gifts and the blessings which you have bestowed upon us and our families, and that we may work righteousness that will please you, and admit us, O Lord, by your rahmah to the ranks of your righteous servants. And O Allah, please unite us and all of our family members in the religion of Islam, and let us all die in this. Truly, O Lord, thank you for your grace.